Welcome to Franchise Empires, where aspiring entrepreneurs learn exactly what it takes to become a successful franchise owner, from one location to 10 and beyond. I'm the Wolf of Franchises.
Hey everyone, it's the Wolf. Today on the show, it is just me. I actually had an interview fall through, so ended up doing a solo episode where I talk about some of the latest news in franchising, including the Orange Theory acquisition news and a little bit of inside baseball from some Anytime Fitness franchisees who are pretty happy about it, as well as Domino's reported their franchisee net profit per store. And I also discuss a brand that I covered in my newsletter last week, that it's a restaurant concept that has a very surprising economic profile in a good way, and a few other takes in there. So hope you enjoy. We'll be back to our regular scheduled content next week.
The Wolf of Franchises is the CEO of Wolfpack Franchising, as well as a creator at Workweek Media. All opinions expressed by The Wolf and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Wolfpack Franchising or Workweek. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The Wolf, Workweek, and Wolfpack Franchising may maintain positions in the franchises discussed on this podcast.
All right, so first piece of news. Orange Theory has been acquired by Self-Esteem Brands. So for those of you who don't know, Self-Esteem Brands is the owner of other franchises like Anytime Fitness being the most notable one, but also Waxing the City and three other smaller franchises too. And so this new company now, between Orange Theory and the previous Self-Esteem Brand portfolio, totals about 7,000 locations and over $3.5 billion in revenue. The large majority of those units and revenue is coming from Anytime Fitness and Orange Theory, but it's a pretty big deal in the fitness world. You know, pretty large merger between two of the bigger private fitness companies in America, and it's a win from both sides, if you ask me. I think Anytime Fitness obviously gets a fantastic brand and the leading boutique fitness brand, if we're being honest, is now under their umbrella. And Orange Theory, you know, the terms were undisclosed, but I'm sure it was a phenomenal exit for the team there. And, you know, they definitely have, while there's nothing beneficial on this, just from kind of the whispers in the rumor mill, they've gone through some struggles as far as performance since COVID. They're definitely still doing well. I think myself and Drew Carpenito were speaking about this on a recent podcast where, yeah, the numbers have come down from the insanity that they maintained for 5, 6, 7 years. So it's more just adjusting to a new normal. But overall, still a great business from everything I've heard. And Anytime Fitness franchisees are also pretty happy about this deal. I was speaking with one, I won't name him, but he's a big fan of what just went down. And, you know, his thoughts are that Orange Theory is a great brand, as we said. And then also, they're just so specialized with group training and group fitness classes that if you're an owner of Anytime Fitness, to be able to now tap into the executive team of Orange Theory, and I'm sure Anytime Fitness will work some type of, you know, if, and they already are from what I understand, but, you know, maybe improve upon whatever group training, group fitness classes they're already offering under their umbrella. And, you know, the biggest thing with Orange Theory, I also feel like, is they've really built a community around their concept. You know, that goes from the trainers that they hire to people who go, like myself. I'm a customer. Love it. Absolutely enjoy going there. It's one of my favorite places to work out. If the workouts worked so damn hard, I'd probably go there, you know, more than once or twice a week. But it's really a fun workout and a good way to stay in shape. So that's a big deal that went down. Next is Domino's. Obviously, one of the biggest franchises worldwide. They announced earnings recently, and their franchisee profitability was up from $143,000 per store to $163,000 per store, which is just really phenomenal metrics to be putting up, especially given that their investment midpoint is still pretty reasonable for brick and mortar franchises, especially the big name brands. Domino's investment midpoint is about $420,000. And you look at McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, KFC, all these other big brands, they're pushing well over a couple million dollars. So Domino's has really maintained that small square footprint in their stores, focus on delivery, which they've been doing for decades now, And it's great to see that even at their scale, that they're not just focusing on, say, unit expansion, in which, you know, the franchisor wins because there's more revenue, but could be cannibalization across the system if that happens. Instead, they're still prioritizing franchisees, and, you know, $20,000 increase in profit is nothing small. So kudos to Domino's. Also, fun fact, the dots on their logo, they're actually meant to represent the number of locations. Now, that was the plan from the founders, that every time they opened the new store, they'd add a dot within the Domino's logo. You know, today that would require tens of thousands of dots or something like that, but they just have the three. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there. Next, a few, you know, this isn't necessarily news related, but a few takes of late from the franchise industry. There's a lot of people talking about Crumbl. You know, there's listings up on BizBuySell. You know, there's a rumor, or not a rumor, it was confirmed via a screenshot of some email that there was layoffs within corporate, I believe. And so, you know, a lot of people just kind of having, I don't want to say cheap shots, but, you know, kind of using Crumbl's brand for easy engagement. And I think it's always easy when a brand has been doing so well for so long, where you almost become the villain and people almost start rooting for you to fall. Look, I'm not saying that there's not merit to some of the doubt that's been thrown Crumbl's way. You know, I've been on Twitter labeled a Crumbl apologist and this and that. But I just want to review kind of what Crumbl has actually done since they started franchising in 2018. And that is, they've always had a transparent FDD. They've always shown average unit volumes and net profit per location. They built a killer franchise-wide operational tech stack from scratch. And you can listen with my podcast, from my podcast with the founder of Crumbl, Jason McGowan. He talks about building that. They sold a ton of franchises, but they've also gotten them opened in a very, very impressive pace. They have 1,000+ stores open today. So, you know, I'm going to continue, but I don't want to gloss over that, because that is such an important metric for how legitimate a franchise is. It's one thing to, you know, use the number of units you've sold or awarded as a marketing tactic. It is an entirely different conversation to say we're getting all those locations open as well. That puts you in a much different class of franchising. And again, just 1,000 locations open since they started franchising in 2018. It's just, you really have to give them, you know, a pat on the back for that one. Next up too, I mean, obviously the unit economics, right, have been fantastic year in, year out. I've spoken with multiple Crumbl franchisees. The vibe I've been getting is sales are down, but they're not panicking. It's somewhat expected as more locations open up, average unit volumes fall. And that's not necessarily always because of cannibalization, though it does seem like there are franchisees who feel there's been some overexpansion. But again, even on the whole, typically when more locations open, at least in the early days of growth, you're just bound to have more variation in performance. And over time, that can, you know, as the brand grows and the awareness grows, then units can trend upwards year over year. But it's not uncommon for a brand to go, you know, if they have 50 locations this year and then the next year they have 100 locations open, the average unit volume, that's not unheard of, where it usually will go down. To just cap it off on Crumbl, obviously they created a massive organic social media marketing engine. Their mobile app is regularly top 3 to 5 in downloads. And last week, you know, it was sitting as number 2 between McDonald's and Starbucks. You know, that's kind of the level they're playing at. And as of January 1st, 2023, they had never closed a store. I believe we are going to see some of the first closures in the next FDD, according to some comments and DMs I've gotten on Twitter. But anyway, the point is, up to this point, Crumbl's done everything right. You know, they executed at an incredibly high level, probably better or higher level than any other franchise in history from an emerging standpoint. And when you just step back and consider what they accomplished, you know, it's, again, I just think it's too easy to kind of say, oh, it's a dessert company, they're growing fast. You know, a lot of people lump them in the frozen yogurt category, but I just don't think that's giving them enough credit where it's due. You know, so many brands that I speak to begin franchising before they even have their playbooks dialed in. A lot of them are often franchising before the business has even turned a profit. So I just think when, you know, folks like me and others who are speaking with emerging franchises day in and day out, you know, you really see the level of quality, and it isn't a very high bar, folks, unfortunately. So when I see a brand like Crumbl, you know, I want more founders of their caliber coming into the space and innovating. And I really, just think that would be a good thing for the space if we had more brands with that level of marketing expertise who are trying to build, you know, differentiated tech specifically for their concept. You know, a lot of good value adds. You could definitely make the case that is cookies a sustainable business where that's all they're going to sell? Or at least is it sustainable at 1,000+ locations, right? And there's tons of, you know, data points from Great American Cookies and a few others where hundreds of locations is certainly feasible. So I totally agree that that question is worth asking and has merit. But there's a huge difference, right, between a brand collapsing and a reversion slash correction, which is then hopefully followed by slower slash steadier growth, right? I would like Crumble to find their steady state. If they don't, that means franchisees are failing. And ultimately, that's what we don't want is franchisees getting hurt. But, you know, who knows what the future holds for them? It's obvious that they are transitioning to diversify revenue where they have a few non-cookie menu items. A few weeks ago, they just announced they now have Tres Leches cake on the menu. And they dropped the cookies officially from their logo and branding. So it's definitely a transition period for Crumble. So we'll see what happens to them. But funnily enough, a franchise I covered last week, Nothing But Cakes, also kind of a business built around a dessert product. You know, their numbers are pretty phenomenal. And so they're at least one case study that you can build a really amazing business around dessert. And it doesn't mean it's a fad. You know, I don't think anyone expects Bundt Cakes to be putting up, and this is a brand with 500+ locations. Nothing But Cakes has average unit volumes of 1.4 million, an average ticket at their stores of about $26.70, and an average EBITDA of $298,000. So they have certainly not been in hyper growth mode. They've been franchising for quite a while. I believe since 2006 is when they started franchising. And overall, though, I mean, those are just very, very impressive numbers, especially considering the build-out's about 550K to 980K. So not a cheap franchise, but again, under $1 million. And for food and restaurant franchises, yeah, that's fairly reasonable. And again, just if you think about the proof of concept this brand has nationwide, you know, I mean, I'll just say it again, over 500 locations open and operating. And that was the EBITDA last reported in their most recent FTD, which is, you know, again, $298,000 in EBITDA. So clearly a high margin product. They have a, you know, locked in customer base that really enjoys this. I could tell that just from the Twitter engagement I got. I talked about them. So yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting when you actually just take a step back and see what's possible with these franchises. And sometimes it's brands like Nothing But Cakes that you wouldn't expect to maybe be succeeding at that high of a level. But anyway, that's it for this podcast. We'll be back with more interviews and more conversations in the next few weeks. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Franchise Empires. We're coming to you soon with actionable insights to take the next step on your franchise journey. So make sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen.